Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Feel like snitching? Give us a call at 913-662-1270. Then tune in to The Snitch Line every Thursday at 1:15 on Cody and Gold.
That's right. Tomorrow, right around this time, it will be The Snitch Line. Start thinking ahead for that. Looking forward to that on a Thursday. We'll also have Chiefs running back Daryl Williams join us tomorrow at 10:30 here on Cody and Gold.
My dad threatened to start texting into the snitch line.
Oh, does he got some good snitches on you?
I mean, he's my dad, yeah, so you would think if there's anybody who's got dirt, it's
Cody's
him.
Dad, yes, please do tomorrow. 913-576-7610. If you want to text him in ahead of time, we can get the personal
text
cell phone number. Text him in to Nick and I ahead of time.
I'm not going to give you his number.
You can give him my number. That's the one number you can give out. You can't give it out on the air, as we discussed earlier, but if you want to pass along the number to him, I think he follows me on Twitter. I'll just send a DM to your father.
Smart.
I'll just do that.
Get the dirt
early, ahead of time, so we're prepared tomorrow to bring it to the people. Snitch Line is coming up tomorrow. We'll get to the All 32 here in about 8 minutes or so, where we go around the NFL a little bit and our take on each a couple of the 32 teams and what stands out so far in the early portion of this week, heading into week 6 of the NFL season. But pre-Super Bowl last year, certainly this offseason, we continue to talk about the window for the Kansas City Chiefs. This window of how many more years are they the team in the AFC? And we have to be honest with ourselves at this point. The window, while big picture, are they still going to be one of the better teams
in
the
AFC? Are they still in the Super Bowl window?
Yeah, that hasn't changed. But the window of them being the team to beat,
that died.
It ended a year earlier than I think most of us thought, right? I mean, that's the difference. The Chiefs are still, with the roster they have, despite the issues on defense, even right now, they're still one of the four or five best teams in the AFC, therefore they're in the mix, right? Next year, who knows what that's going to bring. These other teams are going to have their own challenges and everything like that. The difference is for the next, not just 2 years after this, but 5, 10 years, it looks like Herbert's going to be a problem. Josh Allen's going to be a problem. Those teams will have their own issues, just like the Chiefs were dominant for the last 2 years, and now they've hit a little bit of a rough patch and roster construction is getting more challenging with the cap and the salary. Those are problems that will hit these other teams. There will be mistakes made by these other teams as well in the offseason with how they address certain positions, and there will be weaknesses, but it just all happened a year earlier than we thought.
It's the championship window. Like, that's the normal window we would talk about, like the Super Bowl window. I mean, it'd be way too early to say that that's closed up for this particular team, because I kind of think that window's open until it's not Mahomes, Kelsey, Hill.
And like, Reed, to me. I agree to that, Mitch.
Right,
yeah.
Like, with those four guys are together, they got a chance to win a Super Bowl any year. Now, will the other things line up? Will they actually win it that year? That's hard to say.
Yeah, it's difficult to win a championship.
But, you know, because other teams run into this thing. But with Mahomes, like, when you got a quarterback that good, the door remains open. But for the best team in the AFC West, the AFC, all that stuff has come to a head. I thought we had another year before the Chargers came together. New coach, not an offensive-minded coach, only the second year, first year in a new system for Justin Herbert. I voiced all these concerns. I have no backing anymore to support that any of those things are actual problems for the Chargers.
We mentioned like the Vegas
defensively, they're worse than I thought that they were going to be, but they still have a real quarterback, a great quarterback.
We mentioned yesterday like the Vegas odds and all that, but if just percentage wise, just go around for, I'm just, if I told you that, what percentage would you even put on the Chiefs still winning the division this year? Take the Vegas stuff out of it, the odds and plus money and all that. Like what? And text line too, 913-576-7610. Like honestly, what
40?
What percentage? Because it's
I mean, they've won it 6 years in a row or whatever, right? 5 years in a row.
Let's do some simple math here.
Please.
Chargers
do.
Are 4-1. Chiefs are 2-3. Let's just ignore every other game and assume that the Chiefs win the rematch.
Okay.
So there's one game.
So now
game
they're only
right
one
there.
Game behind.
Mm-hmm.
So, ipso facto, rookie head coach, second year quarterback, incomplete defense that has upside. I think it's still about a 50-50 chance the Chiefs win the division.
Yeah, I say 40. Like, yeah, I put it slightly below. Like, I give the Chargers the edge. Because they've appeared to be the better team.
Well, no, because they've won. Honestly.
And they've won.
That's the fact that they've won. The only thing. If the Chiefs had won that game, and then let's say the Chiefs lost versus Cleveland,
but then beat the Chargers,
yeah. we would still think
and the Chargers lost, but won their other game.
We'd
and they
say,
were
hey,
same
you
got
to beat the Chiefs before we're going to consider you the favorite.
Yeah, it still seems like to be somewhat of a coin flip at this point in time. I actually would probably go above 50% just because I still have faith in what they have and the track record. I probably go like 55 or 60% still, whereas before the season it was like, 85 or 90% chance people would have put it at easily?
115, whatever Yogi Berra's number is.
I mean,
140%? I don't know.
Yeah.
They were like Kansas for a bit. Like when a team's won the division that many years in a row and still has the same coach, the same quarterback, when they start having the same Hall of Fame tight end, the same top five wide receiver, I wasn't going to pick against them to win the division, not because we're in Kansas City, but because it seemed impossible that they would lose the division. And all the things that I thought were working against the Chargers. But Herbert has shown zero signs of switching offensive systems being a problem. Zero signs that switching coaches has been an issue at all. Like, they're bigger problems. The reason why they're 4-1 and could have been worse, like have played a little bit worse than that, is only defensive reasons.
It's kind of funny about Herbert, by the way, that we're not saying like, with Alex Smith, so many different offensive coordinators. It's like, he went from one to the next.
By the way, this is my conversation about Sam Darnold. Anytime someone's like, they didn't set him up for success. I'm like, he stinks. He's not, it's not going to work out.
Yeah. But you can't, I get your overall point.
I stand by that.
Your overall point is fine, but like,
there's a level of bad,
we can acknowledge. Sam Darnold placed in Jet system versus Herbert, no matter how great Herbert is, and I think he's fantastic, in Charger system, night and day difference, but I get the overall point.
I think mostly what this tells you is that when those guys are changing systems, really what the problem is they don't have a good coach. It's not the system, it's that the coaches are bad.
Or maybe they have to change the Staley, systems because the off...
Yeah, but if you're Brandon Staley and you're a good coach and you're smart... Yeah. You will have success immediately because you're smart and you're good at your job.
Well, the Chargers have just been...
Because the second... It wasn't the changing the system again, by the way. Sorry, just really quick on Alex Smith. It wasn't the changing the system again that made Alex Smith better in San Francisco. It was getting a smart head coach, right? Getting someone who seemingly knew what they were doing for once. Like, that made a massive difference for them at that time, although it's not worked out so great at Michigan.
The difference to the Chargers, not only do they have the quarterback now, but in the past, they never could stay healthy. And for their sake so far, they've actually been pretty... I know Bosa was banged up when he played the Chiefs, but he still got the best of Lucas Niang.
Did not slow him down.
They're healthy. That's the difference. But yes, their biggest weakness is their defense right now. The Chiefs' defense is horrific. The Chargers' defense is bad. It has been, especially against the run. And so that'll be the interesting thing. We'll have all week later on Friday to talk about. But Chargers Ravens is a hell of a matchup. It's the best match of the weekend. It's actually a terrible Week 6 slate if you look at just some of the games this weekend. But Chargers Ravens is certainly one of the better ones.
That's interesting though. You say
the Chargers
do have a bad defense.
They're 12th in scoring.
They have some semblance of an identity
I'm not saying they're on the Chiefs level. Defensively.
I know, but I'm saying like that to me is the big difference. Like you can have a bad defense. But if you have one thing that occasionally you do okay, like occasionally the Chargers can get after the quarterback.
Yep.
Like that's the difference between being a favorite and just being in the middle
of the pack.
Well, they're what the Chiefs have been. I mean,
weaknesses everywhere, but star players.
Well, but even in general, like they had the offense, but their defense was still passable is what kind of, I think, Nick, what you were kind of trying to say. Their defense is passable to where that formula can work. They're also a long field goal from the Cowboys kicker back in week two from being 5-0.
Yeah, but they also almost lost that Washington football game, so we should not pretend that wasn't the case.
Bizarre one, yeah.
And they came very close to losing to the Chiefs. They were not close to losing to the Raiders a couple of weeks ago. And I guess, I don't know, depending on how you look at it, close to the Browns, I always thought they were going to win that game.
The Chiefs still have something like a 79, so we were talking about the AFC West, but it's like a 79% implied probability of making the playoffs this year.
I mean, I'd still
understandably
bet on that.
So.
I don't know why you wouldn't.
You know, you talk about right now. When you talk about smart coaching and teams being more aggressive on fourth down, being more aggressive on third down. That's not that doesn't help that as offensive coaches are getting smarter and teams are getting wiser and more efficient on offense, the Chiefs are getting worse. Like that's a perfect
bad
storm
time.
For the Chiefs to have a historically
that's why they
bad
sit
defense.
Where they sit.
Because yeah. The points you get by being more aggressive in those things closes the gap even further than just the talent issues you're struggling with. And Andy has not been that aggressive, honestly. He's been lower than most of the other team. They went for their first fourth down last week of the season. Remember, Nick? That was a Nick notable note.
That's right. You guys liked that one.
That was
impressive.
One.
It was a good pull.
Text line does say they were commenting on your math, Nick. They said if that's how Nick did his math in high school, it's probably a good thing you missed so much school.
What
that's
math?
What we're talking about. You were doing some math on the we were talking about the percentage chance, and you're like, let's take a look at this here. Ipso facto or whatever you were going through. Yeah.
Nick, you weren't good at math.
I stand by that.
It worked out. The math worked. We checked it out. It's completely correct.
I was good at math as like a young kid, but I got progressively worse as I got older.
Horrible for me. I'm horrific.
Science was always like...
horrific at math.
The table of elements, like chemistry.
I was good at chemistry. That's just science math.
I was terrible at math in general.
Nick, I once...
Oh, here we go.
Competed in a chemathon.
Here we go.
So, no big deal.
You once competed in a what?
Chemathon. That's a chemistry contest. I did not win.
You have got to be kidding.
And you're
me.
In radio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I made some wrong
chemathon.
Turns.
Chemathon?
Like, I made several wrong turns to get to this point.
Chemathon?
You could have been a chemist?
I was really actually looking at engineering. That was what my original vibe was.
Okay.
I liked math and science. I was pretty good at those things. So I thought, okay, I'll just do that.
I didn't know you then. And I don't even, not even claiming to know you that well now.
It doesn't seem like me now, does
but
it?
But based on what I do know, I think you made the right choice.
I'm not sure if that's a compliment to what I currently
yeah,
do.
It's a big time compliment.
Or an insult to what I could have done.
It's a both, big time definitely compliment. Both, yes.
The good news is you're making the exact same amount of money as you would have as a chemist and an engineer. So everybody
totally.
Worked, so it worked out perfectly.
really a wash there.
It worked out completely fine for everybody. All right, let's get to all 32. We take a look at this a couple times a week. Of course, the 32 teams in the NFL and kind of a takeaway or so we're seeing right now. I got to go to Indianapolis because Jim Irsay, who's the very outspoken Indianapolis Colts owner, he sent out this tweet after the Ravens had the Colts had the tough loss to the Ravens on Monday night. And this was the tweet he sends out. Colts Nation, don't you worry. We're going to get the horseshoe at least two Lombardis this decade.
What?
As sure as the sun rises and the seasons change, it's coming. Don't you ever doubt that, ever. You will see greatness, all caps. Believe, and you will see with a lot of emojis, footballs, and all kinds of different emojis.
Colts trading for Aaron Rodgers confirmed.
What is he
That's
talking?
That's the only way you could talk like that for the rest of this decade.
It's 2021 already. At the end of the season, it's 2022, so you're already narrowing it down.
They're 1-4, so they're happening this year.
So this year's done, then you're in 2022. Carson Wentz is your quarterback, and there's no signs of that team being anywhere close. We just got done talking about you still got Mahomes and Herbert and Lamar and Josh Allen. Good luck, Indianapolis. Good luck of making it to an AFC divisional round game at this point with what you got.
That is beyond delusional. Like, just why even make that promise?
I know he's trying to
say one. We're gonna get it. We're gonna get a Lombardi
boost
again.
The
we're gonna get one this decade.
Like, he's trying to boost the morale because they should have won that game against the Ravens. They absolutely blew it. They were up 22-9 heading into the third quarter.
Yeah,
or fourth heading into the fourth quarter.
They were up 25-9 at some point in that game, weren't they?
It was one of the two. Yeah, the point.
It doesn't matter.
It was double digit lead, and they blew it. But yeah, they have no chance.
My all 32 thing comes right back to the Raiders. Didn't take that long. They've obviously had a bit of a tumultuous week. Well, Mark Davis, right, originally did not speak to the media yesterday when they went through this stuff. You would think he would be here to calm the waters. To make it clear that he was okay with letting John Gruden go. Nope. Just threw a whole bunch of smoke in there. He spoke with Paul Gutierrez over at ESPN there in Vegas. Said, quote, "I have no comment. Ask the NFL. They have all the answers." He also confirmed that Mike Mayock remains the GM, but now has 51% control of the roster decisions versus their interim head coach before Gruden had 51%. So I guess Mayock got a promotion based on this scenario. Saying, ask the NFL, they have all the answers. That could not sound more like a guy who did not want to let John Gruden go, right? Which is what we all assumed when we found out he knew on Friday about all the emails, let him coach on Sunday, and then the NFL essentially threatened to release emails slowly every day until they let him go.
That was just a statement, right?
He resigned.
That was just a statement, right? Because they're making the at 3 o'clock this afternoon or whatever, they're making the interim coach, you know, talk to the media, but they're not making Mark.
They're having his initiation ceremony begin.
Yeah, but they're not having Mark Davis speak. He just put out a statement, so he's like, he's just
snorts the ashes of Al Davis.
The flame still lives there. The flame is
still lit. The eternal flame.
That flame is still lit there at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas.
I mean, does anyone think that he wanted to fire him now?
Did anybody think that initially?
I didn't.
No, of course he didn't want to fire him. They gave him the emails on Friday and Saturday before the game. He didn't even suspend
Gruden.
He read
all those and was like, this will
blow over.
Of course he didn't want to fire him.
When you give somebody $100 million,
you intend to keep him
alone? You're a fan of that person.
Yeah.
Nobody made Mark Davis do that.
They're very
reportedly
close.
They're kind of a good organization to work for.
I heard that John Gruden, he would oftentimes just sit underneath Mark Davis's desk.
And do what, Nick?
Like, that's just where he worked from.
This feels
but
like
we'll never know because his time with the Raiders has come to an end. My all 32.
I love how you just skated past that. Keep going.
Comes from Seattle. Pete Carroll. He's got a tough task at hand right now. He's trying to keep the train on the tracks without Russell Wilson. It's been a rough go for Seattle early. Now they've got Geno Smith at quarterback. Pete Carroll is this weird coach that a lot of people like, but on the flip side, there's been this sort of stubbornness, especially on offense and handing the keys to Russ and not wanting to be aggressive on fourth downs. And he weighed in on this today. He said, quote, "The analytics will tell you to always go for it whenever it's close, but that doesn't mean it's always the right decision," which is a pretty tough statement to wrap your head around.
I just watched that.
All 32 is not to, I don't want to rip Pete Carroll. I actually want to do the exact opposite.
Commend him?
I'm not commending him as necessarily I'm excusing him. People keep expecting Pete Carroll to change and to do things differently. And I think because of the way he carries himself, people think that like Pete Carroll is like this young progressive coach. He's 70 years old.
He's the oldest coach in the NFL.
Do you, how many 70-year-olds do you know who are like constantly adapting and changing and evolving?
Honestly, I have no plans to do any of those things when I turn 70. I'm going to stick with everything I know at that point.
It's just funny that people keep expecting him to like change his ways when he is, again, the oldest coach in the NFL.
So really, at this point, he's been like, what do you expect this to change for?
Guys, come on.
This is why Russell Wilson's not going to end up in Seattle, right? Like, in the long term, he still is going to end up playing for another franchise.
Denver?
Why would I? What a nightmare of a division this would be forever.
Russell Wilson, Mahomes, and Herbert.
Honestly, from a coverage perspective, it might be super
entertaining. I think he wants to go to a big city. I think Russ wants to go to a big city.
And he's in Seattle.
Oh, well, L.A.'s busy.
You're talking like
Seattle's
New York.
Not like a media mecca.
That's
Miami?
You mean it more like that.
Yeah, okay. Miami would be a good
I mean,
one.
Miami seems like it'd be a fun place to have like $100 million. I can tell you that much.
It's very expensive.
Be like a fun place to be like, rich. I'm in Miami and I have $100 million
and I'm married
and
to
I'm
a hip-hop superstar, entrepreneur.
Yeah, that feels like a good vibe.
The
New
Russell
York,
Wilson right? brand is a top priority for Russ.
Are the Giants going to move on from Daniel Jones and then just
Russell
trade
Wilson
for Russell
is
Wilson?
Available, they should.
Yeah.
Are they stupid?
Yeah.
There's about 30 teams, I think, who would move on from their quarterback if Russell Wilson was interested.
The only two that wouldn't are in the AFC West. just Mahomes and Herbert. Obviously, there's others, but it's a handful of teams that wouldn't. Even if you're the Packers, you'd be like, well, it's been nice, Aaron. We're going to get the guy who's 7 years younger than you so we can ride this out a little longer.
That is all 32 in the NFL here on Cody and Gold. A little playoff baseball. It's been interesting to watch a little bit of that. But Kevin Clark, who's joined us on the show a couple times, of course, Kevin Clark from The Ringer, he threw something out here from actually a listener of his. He does a podcast as well. And let me just read you the text because it's kind of interesting. I don't know how much you've been enjoying the baseball playoffs and watching.
I just want to, before you say
night.
What it is.
Yeah.
Love this idea.
Okay.
Incredible theater.
Here's what it is. Big fan. This was the listener. I've got a hot, chaotic football idea that you might appreciate. Let teams pick the width of the goalpost like baseball teams pick the dimensions of their stadiums. If you have Tucker, talking about Justin Tucker, the kicker of the Ravens, you can go like 10 feet across on the uprights and everything and screw everybody. Vikings can make theirs the full width of the end zone. So what change if you could make one to your state, to Arrowhead, to wherever?
To benefit
to
them?
To make it impact and benefit your team. Like baseball, of course, there's some teams that have the short porch and left or whatever.
First, they have a very good kicker. And the idea of moving the, like, thinning the goalpost out because you have a good kicker, I love the advantage nature of it. Like, the idea that you're like, our kicker is so good, we don't care how skinny the uprights are. And the theater that comes if Tucker misses a kick a foot to the left that would normally be in normal uprights.
What if, you know, we saw a couple doinks this weekend in the Cleveland-Green Bay game. What if doinking it was actually worth more points?
If you could just hit the side of
it. If you can hit the goalpost, it's worth five.
Oh, my God. That encourages some
think
late
about,
game
that's
kicks.
So hard to do.
That gets rid of the Hail Mary and instead adds, like, just a straight gunslinger, like, watch me kick the upright part of this game.
Like, make doink.
Cody Parkey
make
would still be in the league and doing well.
Make doinking the most impressive thing that any team can do.
Can you add stuff to the field? Like, can the Chiefs add random roadblocks just when they're on defense, like, for to hopefully help out the defense? Can they add some like random guys just standing like cylinders in the middle of the field to hopefully trip up
like
the defender?
Like super fans?
Yeah. And the Chiefs, they should just make the field smaller. Like, it's harder to be good if you're smaller. You don't have to cover as much area, but you got fast guys. You're really good on offense. Shrinking the field would be very viable to the Chiefs in general.
You know, David Letterman had a really good bit a while ago that said, you know, if you whatever you want to do as a team, you should be able to do. Like, if you got to play for 22 players, like, send them out there. Let's see it. Two balls? That's fine. Have at it.
Text line says, Mahomes in a dome. That's the answer. Just have Mahomes play in domes constantly. Indoors, perfect conditions, perfect field, all of it. I feel like the defense would look even worse.
<In a dome. laughs>
The defense would look even worse.
Because you got to think about it. Like, you're just looking at it as an advantage for your, because you're, it's like the Royals. Like, oh, we got a big outfield, so we always go after defensive players. What is the Chiefs roster currently? Like, they have one of the better kickers in the NFL with the deepest, you know, he's one of the more accurate kickers in the world. He's got one of the biggest ranges. Maybe you just make the uprights taller.
I mean, if you want to go all
right?
speed, Cody.
Let's just make them taller.
If you want to go all speed, you would just go switch from the natural grass, even though I love the natural grass at Arrowhead. But, like, if you just go,
right. just switch
just
synthetic?
Go synthetic and just even Tyreek's even faster.
Oh, my God. These poor bastards. But the defense, man.
I know.
Are you considering the defense?
I know. That's what,
like, that feels like a real
I just want
problem
like,
for them.
I just want different like whack-a-moles on Arrowhead. So basically a random mole would pop up in the middle of the field to hopefully help out Dan Sorensen in the secondary. Except those moles would also need to be able to rush the quarterback since they can't do that.
But can you imagine, I mean, just extra points. Like, if you go play in Baltimore and you've got a field goal post that's 5 feet wide.
Tucker's not going to have any problems.
And Tucker's just nailing them all day. You're trading 7 for 6.
Well, then you start going for 2, which is obviously more entertaining for all of us.
Right.
Someone says, how about the dome closes for the offense, it opens back up for the defense, and sprinklers kick in with wind machines when we're on defense. Massive home field advantage.
Because baseball is the only – baseball – soccer does this too, though. Different soccer teams have different sizes of pitch. They don't all play by the same rules. Some guys like a wider one, and they've got more speed, so they can spread themselves out. Some clubs want smaller – like. Some other, this isn't the only sport. Basketball and football do none of that. They don't really change any circumstance. Like, nobody's like,
yeah, because
like if you're the Warriors, you'd be like, we're moving the 3-point line 4 feet back because Steph's still going to hit him and screw you. That's why.
Because truly the field goal post wouldn't be the equivalent in football because that would be like changing the mound height in baseball if you change the field goal post in football.
I guess, but it's like you can only change the fields. Like, if we're only limiting it to field size. That really doesn't seem like it does as much in football as it does. Like, if you're in basketball and you're like, well, we're a big athletic team. We want more space. We're going to make ours super wide. Like, you still have to have some sort of limit to it.
What are you laughing? What are you laughing about, Nick?
Well,
this one, I actually
go ahead and read it.
No, I
go ahead and read it. Go ahead.
Somebody from the 816
go
says,
ahead.
Give X Factor a few lines and send him and Red Extreme out there. Oh gosh. Like a line's like a Shakespeare line, like in a play.
Thou shall not. Whatever. Uh-huh. Commandments, those kind of things.
Uh-huh.
Coming up next here on Cody and Gold. Should he be interested in that job opening to come out in Las Vegas?
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What's Trending is brought to you by the Kansas City Renaissance Festival. Tickets at kcrenfest.com. Number one is the latest on the injury and a long injury list for the Chiefs. Anthony Hitchens, according to Andy Reid, dealing with knee inflammation. Chris Jones got a sore left wrist. Blake Bell, back injury. Charvarius Ward, quad contusion. Tyreek Hill, quad contusion. Joe Tooney, we know about the fractured hand. All those mentioned there will not practice today. Going to have to see as the week goes on how many of those guys are able to get on the practice field. Of course, the official injury report will not be out till Friday afternoon, but don't like seeing that long list. And certainly Chris Jones, the sore left wrist, he was a game-time decision on Sunday against the Bills. We know he did not play. This would be 2 weeks in a row if he does not practice, of not practicing. So we shall see how the rest of the week looks for him. But don't like seeing that long list.
Yeah, I don't. If you don't see him by tomorrow, and then it's like the same thing, like, well, is he going to practice by Friday? And if he doesn't practice by Friday, why would I think he's going to play on Sunday again? And you kind of run through this. And honestly, this is a three-game stretch where you just might have to outscore some people. Chris Jones matters way too much for the long term. You can get him on the field against Buffalo, fine. You're trying to win an incredibly important game. These next three games are now incredibly important, but you got to find a way to win them without Chris Jones if he's unable to go. Obviously, just didn't practice today, but that could mean longer-term things overall. Next up on What's Trending, the Oakland Athletics are expected to announce a handful of finalists for possible $1 billion stadiums in Las Vegas after the World Series. That, according to their president, that's according to reports. Their president actually made 6 trips to Vegas looking at potential sites for their future home. This is not shocking. I mean, read anything about Rob Manfred over this, he did not make it sound very confident, like Oakland was going to be able to get a deal done for the A's to build a stadium there. So it sounds like they've got a decent chance of heading to Vegas.
Oakland going to lose 2 franchises to Las Vegas. They already lost the Raiders, and now they're going to possibly lose the
Well, Vegas is Oakland willing to Athletics. Build them stadiums.
I mean, I'd make 6 trips to Vegas if I was that guy anyway, too. I mean, either
Talk
way.
About the
I mean, might as well just keep taking the trips to Vegas. I mean, we all know Vegas at some point is going to have all the major sports. They already got hockey. They, of course, have the Raiders, and then they're going to end
like
up
Sounds like they got a good chance of baseball, and I would not in
NBA
any way rule out.
Yeah.
Yeah, NBA.
100%. Right? I mean, they're going to have all the major sports. Like, it's a it's an entertainment capital of the world, and there's a reason for that, and this will just add to that. Next up on What's Trending, we already knew a few weeks ago that the NFL made the announcement that there would be a wild card game starting this year on Monday Night Football. We just didn't know the broadcast partner. We now know it's ESPN, which I guess makes sense. Monday Night Football. Manning Cast going to be attached to that as well. So somebody is playing a wild card game on Monday Night Football, which sets up a shorter week after that.
Hate it for competitive advantages.
Yeah, I mean, it's if you win, right? It doesn't hurt. Going in, it actually gives you a day extra. Going into the playoff weekend, you get an extra day on everybody. It's the next week if you win that you're behind the eight ball. Because going in, you're getting an extra day. If you play the Sunday week 18 and you have to play that Monday night, you actually get a day extra heading in, but you'll lose the day on the back end.
Yeah, and you got a decent chance you'd be facing a team coming off a bye. You got a 50-50 shot. You'd be facing a team who already had an extra week of rest on you. Yep. And now on top of it, you don't even get a normal week's rest in the NFL. That's a massive. Remember, I told you before, I don't feel like the number one seed is going to matter as much as it has. Well, if you factor this into it, it might play a bigger role. Depends on how that schedule lays out. But that very well might play a factor in all of this going forward. Next up on What's Trending, Mark Davis has officially given a statement on there. It was not ringing, as we had mentioned, in all 32. He had said, I have no comment. Ask the NFL. They have all the answers. Confirmed Mike Mayock has a little bit more control over that. That given to Paul Gutierrez over at ESPN. He could have probably very clearly put this to bed that he was, you know, fine moving on from John Gruden considering what he did. This just casts more doubt that he was ever interested in doing so in the first place. It does not make the Raiders organization look very good in this scenario, but they're in a bad week as it is. All of those emails didn't even take place while he was employed by the Raiders, which makes it even probably harder for them to swallow at this point. But at the same, I mean, you hired a coach who eventually had a massive scandal come out. As a result of that, he's gone. Mark Davis just didn't sound very pleased about it today.
Next up on What's Trending, we know this past weekend it was a great college football weekend. It also featured the rivalry there, the Red River rivalry with Texas and Oklahoma. Spencer Rattler got benched, and then the new kid looked great, Caleb Williams. And now there's so much unknown about who's going to start over the weekend. Well, Oklahoma football has canceled all its media availabilities today. At first, no reason was given. We now know that it's because a reporter for the Oklahoma student newspaper used binoculars from a public building to report that Caleb Williams was doing practice with first team reps, got quotes from Spencer Rattler's dad, and Lincoln Riley has now canceled all media. Lincoln Riley is pissed.
It's not their fault that the student guy, he was on public property with binoculars from a building.
Well done by this kid.
He didn't
reporter.
Do anything wrong. Yeah.
Last year, they said that there were dorms that overlooked the Oklahoma practice field, and they had like that fog, like smoke film,
put over the dorm
windows, so they couldn't like spy on practices there.
Yeah, like what you would have in your shower, maybe. Yeah. You know, like that. Yeah, but what's amazing, you probably remember this, Nick, because you and I were at K at the same time. Mark Mangino, I believe, had
Charlie Weiss.
Was it Mark Mangino or Charlie Weiss?
Charlie Weiss.
Was it Charlie Weiss? I put Mangino. I apologize. I just sent out a tweet. So Charlie Weiss had trees installed around the practice facility.
No,
it was Mangino.
That was Mangino. Okay. I was thinking of a different feud involving student reporters. No, that was Charlie Weiss.
Yeah, I'm talking about when
What was his issue with student reporters?
KU installed trees.
Too mean.
KU installed trees around their practice field when Mangino was there because there's a parking garage on KU's campus, and Nick knows this, that looks over the Memorial Stadium, and there's these practice fields, and there were people that they were worried that were going to like spy on KU football practice. Trust me, there's nobody wasting their time.
What I thought you were referring to
at that time, they might have, but not now.
Charlie Weiss tried to ban student reporters from asking questions because there was a headline in the newspaper that was too mean.
Yeah, they're supposed to be too. They need to be more supportive of the KU football program.
If you needed to know how bad of a failure it was going to be and you wanted some early signs, if your head coach does that, that's a pretty good sign.
Charlie Weiss took to Twitter.
Yeah. Like, Lincoln Riley, you're in Oklahoma.
I think
that's one of the premier college institutions. You can't do baby stuff. This is baby stuff. The student reporter crushed it. He did an awesome job. He got quotes from the former starting quarterback. He got binoculars out. He broke news. He did an awesome job.
And here's
job.
The other thing.
Let
you won the game. You won the game on Saturday. You're number four in the country.
I love this whole story. This is fantastic. I love it. This
it's hilarious,
is great.
Dude.
Yeah, it's how can you not laugh at that? Again, Oklahoma canceling its football practice, media availability, I should say, because a student reporter spied on the practice in a way and found out that Caleb Williams, as he should, right? We all, like, if you were to guess, you would say he should be the starter on Saturday right with away. The way he performed. Spencer Rattler's just going to transfer to KU or something. You know that's happening, right?
I mean, he'd look good in crimson and blue. What can I say?
Come on. Guys,
what?
Come on. Come on, stop.
What, you think he can do better?
Yes, I do. I do think
the
you
next
could do
Dane
better.
Crist.
Unless David Booth is going to personally employ him and his company for like
$8 million. I wouldn't rule
like
that out.
For $8 million a year? I don't know why Spencer Rattler is showing up.
You say that as your joke. I mean, that's
you don't think there are people who would pay $8 million for KU to be good at football?
$8 million? Yes. I mean, you are currently living in Lawrence.
Dude, he was the Heisman favorite like 2 weeks ago.
I know.
It's, man, he fall. This is the first test of all the name, image, and likeness stuff. Like, how does that work out?
He's got two car deals.
He's got two different cars that he was given. So, like, this will be like, is it in the contract that says you have to remain the starter? I would assume, of course, you have to stay at Oklahoma for that to remain intact.
I would think
but
so.
But does he have to remain the starter for it to happen?
Well, it depends on how good his agent was. I don't know who carved out that deal. Probably depends on that. I love all of it.
That's what's trending here. Brought to you by the Kansas City Renaissance Festival. Tickets at kcrenfest.com. You were mentioning the Raiders during what's trending. I'm also watching on the TV here. Mike Mayock is having his live press conference with the media for the first time since John Gruden's resignation. And right now they've got an interim head coach, and it's going to be the offseason before they make any determination on what direction they're going to head. I would imagine this interim guy is not going to be their long-term solution at head coach. Of course, there's odds
unlikely, yeah.
For who will be. And offshore books have Eric Bieniemy as the favorite to be the next head coach of the Raiders. Brian Daboll, Joe Brady. These are the three names that would have been favorites for any job, by the way. But this is
pretty much the list.
But this is the open job. You know, this is the open job. John Gruden's out. If you're Eric Bieniemy, off season comes. Should you be interested? Would you take that job if you're Eric Bieniemy? Because
no,
the division is a problem, but because of Herbert and Mahomes, no question. But you hinted at it, 10 or 15 minutes ago. Despite how weird it might sound right now, considering who their head coach just was and everything surrounding the emails and everything. Amy Trask, who used to be in the front office of the Raiders and others that have been there. The Raiders, it sounds weird, I know, have actually been one of the more progressive in terms of diversity organizations and roles of their front office and others in the league. I know it sounds nuts considering who just got fired, resigned because of the emails and what the email said, but they've actually been a good organization to work for. If you're EB, though, would you be interested? I think that my only hesitation is you got Mahomes and Herbert in that division. Do you want to deal with that with Derek Carr as your quarterback?
I'm not setting myself up to succeed in the NFL by taking that job. Like, one, there's already a mess, right? So it's going to come with an extra magnifying glass.
It's not an awful roster.
No, but Mayock has not done a good job drafting.
Way worse.
Look at
jobs.
His draft success. He has not done a good job around it, and you're stuck with Mayock. So, like, he's your guy for now, right?
And what's with that 51-49 split? Like, how do they determine that?
Yeah.
Well, is it like a math? Is that like a.
And what the hell does that even mean?
It's like an ownership stake, you know?
I'm
only voting 30% of my 100%.
Is it like I'm going to use my extra 1% here to outrule you?
They said percentages, but it's like in general. He's essentially saying he gets final say. It's like if we all owned a company and Cody had over 50%.
Who's in charge? Gruden. Right now it's Mayock.
Mike Mayock, yeah.
Whatever head coach it would be, including...
So what did Mayock do before?
He was an NFL...
He consulted, but ultimately John Gruden had it, you know, John Gruden was able to have final say on the roster, so...
So if I'm Bieniemy, the first thing I'm asking is, what's my percentage?
Like, don't you think that...
Because if it's 49, it might as well be 20, right?
If it came down to which guy was going to be the final roster spot on the team, don't you think that Andy Reid gets final say over Veach? If he's like, look, it's going to be this guy. We know that's the case. It's fine for that to be the scenario. It's fine for it to be the other way. If the GM was with a less experienced head coach. But I don't think Mayock's a very good GM. I think you are entering a division that is going to be incredibly difficult, it appears, for a long time. So the odds of you winning enough to keep the job. Like, this is Eric Bieniemy's shot.
Yeah.
As long as it's been for him to get a job, if he fails at this job, he will never get another head coaching job. He can succeed, and then a few, like maybe if he goes for 7 or 8 years. But if it's just like a 4 year and out thing, he'll never get another head coaching job again in the NFL, and that sucks.
Yeah, but
have to go to college or be a coordinator.
We're on the same page. I'm with you on the division, and that is an obstacle. But this is still, when this job fully opens up, this is still one of the best situations you can be in from a team perspective. The division is a problem. Acknowledge that.
I'd rather have the Jags job.
Would you?
Yeah, bad division and Trevor Lawrence.
What? I don't know how good that. I mean,
the roster sucks.
The Raiders roster is infinitely better.
That roster
than the
Jets. Sucks. In
yes, but that comes with lower expectations for a few years. People don't beat me up over like if I win 7 games and they think I should win 11. Because by the way, whether you win three games a year, let's say 3 years
yeah,
in a row.
You might not win seven until year two or three, though, in Jacksonville.
But if you're
and then you got 1 year left and the other guy takes over when you've already done all the hard work.
But if you're the Raiders and you go 7-7-7, you're getting fired. If you were the Jags and you go 3-3-7, you're getting fired. So it's like you got to win. Like you do have to.
Sure, John Gruden's been for 4 years, been 500 or just below 500.
Okay, but they spent $100 million on him. They're not going to spend that on Bieniemy. I think in Bieniemy's case, that's right. They're not going to give you the runway they gave him. They didn't give him a. They're not going to give Bieniemy $100 million.
That was dumb in the first.
And
place.
So for me, it's like I'll just take the chance that we'll figure out the correct guys to draft, and I'll have Trevor Lawrence.
What jobs did
Bieniemy? And I'll be better being a head coach than Urban Meyer.
Did he?
He's interviewed for like nine jobs over the course.
Yeah, the last offseason. Which ones was he? Actually, was it the Lions?
Jets?
The Falcons?
Definitely Jets. The Jets. And the Falcons, yeah.
Like the Raiders would be better than
Chargers,
all of those jobs.
I think
jobs.
The reporting was is that the Chargers he did not interview for. They had not asked him for
They knew Brandon Staley was a guy.
But I think the Chargers was the only opening he didn't. Remember, that was the story. The only opening that didn't get Eric Bieniemy an interview at that time was the Texans, I think, and the Chargers. And he got the like pseudo-Texans one after it was like, Deshaun Watson's like, are you just not even going to talk to this guy?
I found the Schefter tweet from this back in January, and at the time it was Bieniemy had completed interviews with the Falcons and Lions, the Chargers, the Jags, and the Jets. The Texans at one point in time were the only team he had not.
And then eventually he got like the pseudo like, oh no, we talked. You know, they'd already decided they weren't doing it.
Look at the NFC West. Like that's a really competitive division. And there's a lot of young coaches, with the exception of Pete Carroll. Like, most of these guys have been hired within the past 5 years, and you don't look at any of them as saying, like, oh, I don't know if I want to go in the division with Russell Wilson and Sean McVay. Or, like, it's just a competitive division, and all those guys have pretty good job security, with the exception of Cliff Kingsbury, who might have the best team in the
league
this
year. Eric Bieniemy could avoid the 1 or 2 years of just 4 or 5 wins and right away jump to 8 and then hopefully figure out from there.
But you're like, just stuck with Carr. That's your quarterback.
That
contract-wise, you're not, though. Contract-wise, you're actually not. If you really
okay, so then you're starting over a quarterback, an even worse position to be in the NFL.
Not if the Raiders have a top 5 or 10 pick this year, depending on how the season
goes. Then you might as well just take Trevor Lawrence.
Because that was the number one overall
pick.
No, because the roster in Las Vegas is better.
Those aren't compatible ideas, though. The idea that they're going to have a top 10 pick, but they have a decent roster.
Well, yeah, sure, teams underachieve. Like you just said a few minutes ago. Like their roster is clearly better than what the Jags are.
Sure,
the Jets
but then
are.
We also think they're going to be a top 5 pick, and they get to move on.
If the team falls apart because their head coach just got fired, and there's turmoil in the locker room,
it's just hard, man. Picking 10th, it's not that you can't get the right quarterback.
I just
the Chiefs obviously did
for an
it.
Example.
Deshaun Watson was taken there.
They could trade up. There's a lot of scenarios that could evolve
Justin
them still
Herbert.
Getting a top 10 pick without.
Yeah, just right, but let's. But then again, that's just like all of it riding on getting their correct quarterback or go down or just or sink. Right? Or just sink. It's a huge risk. It's a really big
I think it's
risk.
A middle of the pack job. It's not, but like the thing is,
often you don't see middle of the pack jobs open up
available.
When there's the 6 openings every year or whatever. Usually they are the talk everybody has about Urban Meyer, and he's been a disaster, but that team won 1 game a year ago. He wasn't going to turn them into a 5-win team this year.
And that's the other side of things is that this is a guy who for 3 years we keep asking, why isn't he getting offered? Why doesn't he have a head coaching job?
If Are the we sure Raiders, he would just take the first job?
If the Raiders offer him the job, he is taking the job. Like, it's not about what he should do. Like, if he gets offered, he's taking it.
You have to, I think.
I mean, how many times does he have to state that he wants to be an NFL head coach?
Yeah, and that's always the thing. People are like, are you sure he didn't just want to wait at Andy Reid? I'm like, I don't know about you. Like, just so you know, if you know I don't want to be on the show anymore, it's because I've interviewed at 10 radio stations across the country. That's a pretty good sign that I'm no longer interested in just doing this anymore.
And what other jobs right now? I know it's so early. Like, what other jobs do we think will open? Right, the Jags are going to end up having an opening again.
It feels pretty
I don't
likely.
Think the Texans is going to. Raiders... I think David Culley's keeping his job.
Okay. All right, that's fine. We'll see. So
you think Culley's keeping his job?
Look what he inherited, man.
What are they doing?
Disaster.
The Raiders, the Jags are the two right now that you would look at. I think there's a chance Mike Zimmer gets fired, depending on how things continue to go
Matt
in Minnesota.
Nagy.
Dolphins' job could open.
Bears could, but would they hire another Andy Reid guy after? So probably not.
Dolphins' job could open. Who's to say Flores is safe?
Right. No. Yeah,
this team's massively underperforming.
They got quarterback issues, but the roster's not terrible.
No, the roster's actually
that's not a bad
good.
Spot.
Quarterback problems.
Same. I think Brian Flores and Ron Rivera in the exact same spot.
Like we don't think
overachieved last year, underachieving this year, but quarterback issues. So maybe you get a pass.
Yeah, you'd have said before this season maybe the Bengals' job was opening up, but if they perform above.
That's the thing. Burrow,
Zach Taylor probably keeps his job.
I think of Burrow the same way I kind of think of Kyler, where it's like, I don't really trust the coach, but the quarterback's good enough to you may win enough games.
Yeah, and they're not far enough down the road that it's like the Anthony Lynn situation. Be like, let's go get a coach upgrade. Because you got to get like 4 years into Zach Taylor to be like, let's get a coach upgrade if your quarterback's still doing
if
well.
If the Broncos win 8 or 9 games somehow, Fangio would keep his job at that point.
And you'd rather have probably the Raiders job than the
Mike
Broncos
Zimmer,
job?
Vikings?
I mentioned I'm with you.
Yeah, he's there. We know the Colts are moving on from there.
He's got a hot girlfriend, though.
We don't think Vrabel's
going
anywhere.
We learned that about Vic Fangio, right?
No, Mike Zimmer. I mean, Vic Fangio's wife may be gorgeous, but
Mike Zimmer does have a very attractive girlfriend.
30 years younger,
yeah.
And there's some value in that.
There's some value in keeping him as your coach because of that?
Yeah, I just think the locker room probably respects that. Like if he's pulling that, then maybe we should hear him out.
He's got some things in life figured out.
I just don't think text line points that the Bears will fall apart. EB will get the job. I don't think the Bears will go and hire another Andy Reid guy right after another Matt Nagy right before. You can say you don't like the logic, but I just don't think they will do that.
Yeah, I mean, Eric, the Eagles' job was open, and after they fired Peterson, they're not like, so EB, what's up? Yeah. That doesn't tend to be the methodology. Yeah,
I would be surprised if they would go from Nagy to EB in Chicago, if he doesn't survive Chicago.
And then there's one surprise one that we're not thinking of.
Always.
That's the one we're not the
always.
One we're not
like
thinking
the Packers
of.
Job opened up 2 years ago. What?
Yeah.
Three years ago. Whatever.
And maybe that's Burrow. Maybe that's now Zach Taylor, because that's not a job I'm expecting to be open anymore.
Yes, Giants potentially could with Joe Judge, depending on how things go. I don't know. That's kind of a weird one.
He should be fine.
Right now I would say he's not going to, but that might trend in a direction that gets him if they have to blow that whole thing up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's quite a few jobs that'll be open.
I would love to see Eric Bieniemy with Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley and just the worst offensive line ever.
Well, they can fix that in one offseason, right? That's what the Chiefs did.
Did they?
The offensive line? Yeah, they did.
I mean, it's not perfect, but I mean, it's a lot better than it was. They made it a top 10 offensive line in a single offseason. That's not that bad. I don't think they're the third best offensive line right now.
Want to put a wheel spin on it?
How do we judge that?
I don't know. It was majority rules at the end of the year.
We're back at it tomorrow from 10 to 2. Daryl Williams will join us tomorrow at 10:30. The Drive coming up next.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.